what's going on there, Stunt Galaxy? Welcome to another edition of the Stunt Granny Audio, and it's Eric and Kevin. What's up, Mr. DeFrango?
My cardiovascular conditioning is up.
That's good. Is that because of the time you spent in the gym?
No, that is from the fact that I evidently got signed up for some soccer that is not a beginner's league. And we are playing 80 minutes, and I played 70 of the 80 minutes yesterday.
Good God.
Yeah. So, my legs are still a little shot.
Yeah, I bet. I don't know, honestly, if I could handle 10 minutes of soccer. I would be a miserable. I'd be crumpled over on the sidelines just crying and be in the fetal position. Somebody rub me down. Hopefully I can sign up for a women's soccer league. I mean, my God, it was leg day today in the gym, and that was bad enough. But I think I might have told you this off-air last week, but I'm starting month 3 of the muscle and fitness workout. And this month the reps look like say I did squats today, and I had to do 6 sets of them. It was 4 reps, 4, 4, and then 12, 20, and 20. And I somehow managed to do those, but I have not done 20 of everything like I'm supposed to.
Oh, gotcha. Sorry. I was reading Zack Ryder here, and I just got fucking lost for a second. And just stopped paying attention to you.
It's easy to get hypnotized by Zack Ryder.
Yeah.
We probably just go ahead and dive in head first to what happened on Monday Night Raw this week like we like to do. This week, the guest hosts, plural, were Jeremy Piven from the new movie, The Goods, and his co-star.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I guess I, maybe I learned that through osmosis or something, I don't know. And Dr. Ken Jeong Hyung, whatever his last name is, from many movies, The Hangover and The Goods. He was, I think, the doctor in Knocked Up. He was the asshole doctor who eventually ended up giving or delivering Katherine Heigl's baby, Demon Spawn. And I don't know. It seems like the crowd that disapproves of Jeremy Piven's role as GM or guest host, but more so of Dr. Ken's. What did you think, Kevin?
Yeah, that opening segment was horrendous. And then everything after that I thought fit in pretty well. He kind of did the used car salesman, I'm just going to fucking dick over everybody just to fucking save my own hide kind of a deal. So, I mean, I thought, like, the rest of the segments actually with him weren't too bad. But Dr. Ken, wow. I don't know. I thought he was brilliant in The Hangover, but I don't know. I didn't get it. Like, I didn't get what he was trying to do. Like, I don't understand.
I didn't get it, but to me it was okay. Like, okay, I didn't understand why he came out dressed like a pimp. I didn't really get the whole, like, you know, iced out pacifier thing. But it just seemed to me that Dr. Ken either is a wrestling fan or somebody smartened him up to how to be a heel in very short order. Because for as annoying as he was, to me he was no more annoying than pretty much anybody else has ever been in pro wrestling. Like, he'd make a good Jimmy Hart, in my opinion. Jimmy Hart ran his mouth all the goddamn time, but no one was ever like, you know, oh, shut the TV off on this guy. He was annoying in a good way. I also liked at the very end of the show when he was walking down the aisle and just pointed at nobody in particular and says, "Shut up, fat boy." Like, that's an old Ric Flair trick, man. That shit's classic. Ric Flair's been doing that for 35 years. Just whoever, just look down. There might be, you know, it might be a fucking Richard Simmons Weight Watchers convention in the front row of people who all weigh 120 pounds and need to still be like, "Shut up, fat boy." I thought that was great. And then the whole, you know, "Oh, we did it" thing with John Cena at the end I thought was good. The opening was what it was, and it was probably.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I thought that Dr. Ken there, he at least did better as things. He was kind of the same. Like, I thought Piven was, like, definitely on after that first segment. But Dr. Ken kind of, to me, like, improved as the night went along, really.
Okay. That's cool. And yeah, you're right. I think as
And
far as finding somebody to play a role of a host that would kind of screw people over, it just so I mean, they picked a great guy in Jeremy Piven to do it because he's such an ass in all of his characters. But, you know, they also lucked out on the timing of The Goods coming out because he got to continue playing his character from that movie. But then I don't know,
yeah.
what do you think of the swerve there that it came about at the end? You know, he plays the baby face the whole time to an extent, and then at the end decides, I'm gonna screw John Cena.
Well, he didn't screw him very well, really.
Yeah, that's true.
Unfortunately, we have the Miz being banned to whatever now.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that. Let's skip around Raw a little bit because there is some shit, and there is some
Well,
shit that makes me angry. But I mean, we could talk about the Miz right now, actually. We can keep it in Hollywood by jumping from Piven to the Miz. But the finish of this match was, oh, and of course it's set up in the opening segment by Jeremy Piven saying that the Miz is going to be banned from Summerfest, which I'm like. Summerfest, that thing they have up in Milwaukee where they have all the bands play for like 3 weeks or whatever it is. But and of course then John Cena being the pro that he is corrected him. But then said that he would be banned from Monday Night Raw forever too. So what happens at the end of the night? Miz loses. Oh fuck. Now where's Miz gonna go, Kevin?
My hope is ECW.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I think him and Christian could have some good matches, and you know, I don't know. I SmackDown just seems so damn crowded at this point. You know, I think they could use him against some of the other new guys. I mean, I know that he isn't exactly an old hand or anything like that, but he's certainly more experienced than almost anybody else on ECW,
Yeah, that's
except
true.
you know, Christian.
And yeah, Tommy non-dairy creamer.
Yep. If they keep Zeke as a big guy or is a good guy, he can always kind of fight him and not look like a complete dwarf.
Sure. Unlike Danny Danger did on Tuesday night, but whatever. That's
Oh,
what you get for being
yeah.
Danny Danger, I guess.
Yeah, anything you can do, I can do better. Again, it's just like, okay,
Jesus.
whatever.
Yeah, thanks. I think
I can beat up a limp 150-pound guy. Yoo-hoo!
that. Yeah, I think that spike has been driven into the ground about as far as it can go. Matt Stryker, we get it. That's what they're trying to do. I could see that. I could see Miz going to ECW, but I just, you know, for the reasons that you stated, I think that they would put him on SmackDown because it's the network TV show. More people watch it. Probably barely more people, but more people watch it. I kind of wonder if as they're moving guys around on Raw and they're kind of getting that mid-card shuffle going with MVP and Jack Swagger and with Evan Bourne, and whoever the hell else is over there doing their thing. I don't disagree that SmackDown is crowded because on the other side you've got Rey Mysterio and who the hell else is over there? Dolph Ziggler. Jericho full time is over there. I don't know though. I could see and then John Morrison. I could see some of the feuds that Miz would get himself into as being pretty entertaining. You know, they could finally follow up with the John Morrison thing. I could see him contending for Jeff Hardy's belt, assuming Jeff Hardy keeps it for a while. We'll talk about that in a little bit too. But as far as just exposure goes, I see them putting him on SmackDown. You know, put him on network TV and run it up the flagpole and see if anyone salutes, I guess.
I would hope so. I mean, I think that he's been one of many people to get screwed on his way to Raw, so
Well,
you know,
and I mean,
I think he's gonna do better wherever the fuck else they put him, since, you know, we need to have like the same six people fighting over the belt on Raw.
well, that would suck too, because that. In that case, you do kind of get lost in the shuffle. You're never going to get past. You're never going to get one up on John Cena. They're obviously not angling toward any sort of Triple H versus the Miz feud. I think that would be terrible for Miz anyway. I wouldn't have minded seeing Shawn Michaels versus The Miz every once in a while on Raw, but I feel like it would just end up the way Shawn Michaels versus Kennedy did back in like 06 or 07, even into 08, I guess. Or like Michaels versus Edge in 05, where nothing ever really came of it except Michaels winning over and over and over again. So, I don't know. It'd be kind of cool to see him go over to SmackDown and flourish a little bit. We'll see, I guess. Hopefully, right after SummerSlam, we'll see what happens. Speaking of the big douchebag Triple H, though, I got a real fucking bone to pick with this guy in this segment, and I want to get your opinions on this, too. Of course, Raw has handicap matches all the time, and it's getting very tiresome seeing two guys go against three or one guy go against two. So what did we get this week? Another one. We got Cody Rhodes and Teddy DiBiase, the fucking geldings, the neutered members of Legacy, taking on Triple H. And despite Triple H demolishing them for, 4 minutes, then throughout a commercial, then for about 4 minutes after that, it took two finishing moves, but they finally pinned Triple H. So then what did Triple H do but grab a microphone as soon as he could and start going, "Ow! Ouch!" Which is, of course, what every professional wrestler does as soon as he loses a match, start whining into the microphone. And then laughing and saying, "Boy, that didn't go the way I planned." What a fucking douchebag. Kevin, tell me if you agree with me or not on this.
That part, it was kind of whiny to me, but honestly, I was still mildly in shock that even though it took two finishers, that he actually did the job. Like, I was still just sitting there like, holy fuck. Wow, did they really just went, like, it was so bored with the whole concept. I was like running around on the internet figuring, oh, whatever, Triple H is going to do his super comeback and he's going to fucking win. So, like, when I hear, like, and Legacy gets the win, I'm like, what the fuck?
I mean,
Yeah, and I don't know, he could have fucking done without grabbing the mic right away. Or kind of just acting like a bit of a, I didn't really get hurt kind of a douchebag, too.
Yeah, that's the worst part, is that he lost a match. Okay, granted, he had his shoulders pinned to the mat by one of those two guys. Big fucking deal when you sell it like, oh, I'm so hurt. I'm going to call my friend now, and we're going to beat you up at SummerSlam. It's like, I would have hated if I were Cody Rhodes and Ted DiBiase, if I were in the same room when Triple H was there plotting this whole thing out, like, all right, these guys are going to beat me. Then I'm gonna grab the microphone, and I'm gonna make fun of them, and Rhodes and DiBiase just be like, "What the fuck is he doing?" And I'm gonna make it like I didn't get hurt. Oh, fuck my life. And then I'm gonna promote a match at SummerSlam where I guarantee you the intros combined are gonna be like twice as long as the match itself. Fucking, I feel so bad for Cody Rhodes and Ted DiBiase right now. I don't know. I don't think I'm in the minority, but I feel terrible for him.
Yeah, I mean, they are not going to get any sort of rub. I was just pissed at them using the what the oh the fucking A. He used a regular phone to call Shawn Michaels. It's like, what the fuck is going on here? Like, seriously, like, you don't Triple H does not have a cell phone at this time. Give me a goddamn break.
That's funny. I don't know. Maybe he thought so little of Rhodes and DiBiase that he decided to use a landline to call them and not use up any of his minutes.
Oh, man. So, really, the worst part was fucking him just burying everybody else right after that. I mean, I think that's what made you forget about the win more than anything else.
Ah, that's right. Making fun of his former Evolution
Batista.
buddies.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the Randy Orton one, it makes sense in a fucking storyline sense. That one really wasn't that bad, but you could even just said Batista's injured again and just kind of left it at that. Like, you didn't even need to say he always seems like he's injured or whatever the fuck he said.
Yeah, Batista's always injured. That's not necessary. Batista's injured. That's fine. But then,
Yeah.
and then you got legendary Ric Flair, one of your best friends in the business, whom you inducted into the Hall of Fame, that you just totally turn on him. Like, oh, Ric signing autographs in a VFW hall somewhere. Man, if I was Ric Flair, I'd feel really bad. I'd be pissed. I'd be like, wow, you just turned on me on national TV, live in front of everybody.
Yep.
Ah, that's the fucking magic of Triple H, though. Talk a little
Yep,
bit more
and
about him in a second, too.
he's not gonna, I mean, he's not gonna hear anything about it. He's just gonna be, Vince's pal still, and he's
Yep.
still gonna be at the top of the card. Nothing's gonna change. It's like, well, whatever, I
Yep.
mean, it is just like just so easy to ignore at this point.
Yeah, it's like it's hardly newsworthy, but I don't know if he just keeps coming up with ways to piss me off.
Yeah, that's impressive, really.
Yeah, you'd think after 9 years of being a main eventer, or 10 years now, I guess, that you'd run out of ideas for ways to be a fucking dickhole, but apparently not. I don't know what anything else happened on Monday Night Raw, Primo and Carlito. Ugh.
Yeah, I mean, it has potential, but I mean, they're just. It just, it just came out of the blue. It's like kind of, again, like you have a tag team that you could help build up and help them, do something together.
Yeah.
Oh, and you know what? This is something, and you brought it up earlier here. I'm just fucking moving on from those two guys. I mean, I think they're both fine. I don't think they're great, but they're worth having out there at some point. You were talking about Dr. Ken being a good Jimmy Hart type heel manager. I tweeted this, and I'm gonna fucking go with it because it goes on with that manager mentality. Chris Jericho on Monday did exactly what a fucking manager does.
Yes, that's awesome. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, the Big Show can keep on running his yapper all he wants about how great he is and whatnot, but giving him a different voice really helped to do the trick to get him, I think, well, that and the fucking beating that he gave Kofi Kingston.
Which got over with me huge, obviously.
I think that should have gotten over huge with everybody, really. Like, I mean, they've been pushing Kofi down our throats, and then you just have the Big Show absolutely manhandle him,
Yeah.
while Jericho does fucking wonders in the fucking booth,
Oh, hell
talking up
yeah.
Big Show. And it's just like, goddamn, that's what a manager could provide for somebody. Like, I don't understand. Like, even like I said, like Big Show can talk. Like, I don't have a problem with his promos, really.
No, not at all. He's been from day one, he's been a good promo. But, day one was 14 years ago. When you need to shake up an act, you're right, a manager, or even like back in the olden days when guys would switch managers once in a while, sometimes you just need that. Even if it hasn't gone totally stale yet, even if the expiration date is still on the horizon, it's good to do something like this. And I even noticed that too, and I completely forgot. But even at the end of the match, when Jericho, in full suit and tie, walked into the ring applauding Big Show, I'm like, this is some shit that Bobby Heenan would have done back in the day, or like a classy Freddie Blassie or something like that. Like, casually stroll into the ring, applaud your guy, cheer him on for what he's doing, even if he did just get disqualified. It's a smarmy asshole who can justify his wrestler's actions. It's great, and it's too bad that this probably still won't open up WWE's eyes to the value of having somebody out at ringside cheering your guy on. It's just a great heel tactic.
Yeah, it I guarantee it will not open their eyes.
Well, sadly.
But yeah, I mean it's really, like I said, a perfect example of how it can use be useful. You know, it's frustrating to see them do shit like that, really. It's just like, wow, it's like right there, but it's only just because they want Jericho on TV a lot, and evidently they want to, well, the Big Show does kind of need to move between shows since he's fucking stale everywhere.
Well, hopefully Jericho helps him out with that.
Yep.
Let's see. I guess it might be worth mentioning that Jack Swagger beat the shit out of Evan Bourne. Well, okay. Apparently, it wasn't a squash or anything, but it only lasted 2 minutes. I guess maybe that's good to get Jack Swagger over as kind of a world beater, somebody who can manhandle other wrestlers, nail his doctor bomb at will. I mean, Evan Bourne's gotten a pretty damn good push over the last year, so it's really hard to bitch about this one loss.
Right, and
And then
plus he beat him
MVP.
the week before.
Yeah. MVP runs in, so you get somebody else kind of involved. Any opinions on that?
Yeah, I kind of like that. Like having MVP, stand up for him, at least maybe makes him not look like quite a puss too.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Like I don't know. I just hadn't. I hadn't had a good taste in my mouth ever since MVP lost pretty cleanly to Jack Swagger there 2, 3 weeks ago, whenever the fuck that was.
Yeah.
So having him run in and save somebody else that doesn't technically really need any saving. So many times these days, like the guy just gets beat down and you don't ever see a save from somebody.
Yeah, even like, I hate to say it, but even referees, it takes them sometimes a long ass time to run to the ring. So it's not a bad idea to get a wrestler who's got history with the heel and who obviously is a good wrestler too. That doesn't hurt, to run in
Yeah.
and help out.
Yeah, 'cause I had honestly almost forgotten about that little feud going on. Like I don't know, maybe my memory's getting worse or something. I'm not sure. I don't think it's that bad, but yeah, I mean it was good just to get a reminder in there, really.
Yeah. Well, and
That they were fighting.
Raw and SmackDown in a way are kind of mirroring each other right now. You had we what was it, the US title match, the six man scramble or whatever the hell it's called, the six pack challenge at the last pay-per-view, where you've got like Primo, Carlito, you've got Jack Swagger and MVP. You got people along the lines of an Evan Bourne, Jack, I think I mentioned Swagger, Kofi,
Yeah.
whatnot. You've got like a handful of guys in the mid card. Now, if you look over on SmackDown, you've got Rey Mysterio and Dolph Ziggler. Morrison's kind of floating back and forth. Now you can have The Miz over there. So it's, I don't know. I like seeing all of them getting involved with each other's stuff, just because it opens the doors of possibility for different matches on pay-per-view. I mean, if you know you're going to get stuck with some version of John Cena, Randy Orton, and Triple H in the main event, it's nice to know that anything could happen in the mid card. So I'm with you. I like what they're doing.
Yeah, I think they need a little more definition on Raw there for their mid card, really, but or at least a little more oomph behind it.
Okay.
But yeah, but they do. I mean, I hadn't even thought about that. They really do have as many people as SmackDown does.
That's
Yeah,
why
I
I'm kind of
guess it's.
wondering if the Miz move might be good there. And actually, I tell you one thing that would help. Like as you said, you want some oomph over on Raw. Get that fucking belt off of Kofi Kingston immediately, because he is absolutely the lesser or the least of the whole bunch. I mean, get it on Swagger as soon as you can, and just let all the baby faces chase him, because Kofi Kingston just ain't cutting it as a title holder, in my humblest of opinion.
Well, yeah, it's kind of hard to say considering that that belt, means that you get taken off TV the majority of the time. What the WWE is really thinking with
Yeah, no kidding.
him.
Well, and if nothing else, like his tweet said earlier today, he's getting some new SummerSlam tights made. So hope those tights are made for walking, pal. Let's see. Other than the fact that four perfectly qualified women wrestled on Raw, I mean, there's really, I don't know if there's much else to talk about that happened on Raw that we haven't touched
on.
Other than
That's about where the women's talk needs to begin and end, unfortunately.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Dr. Ken bumped his head, and hopefully he'll be fine for the next movie he's in. I did want to go back to, I kind of want to segue a little bit using previous discussion about Triple H and how big of a dickhead he is, to segue into, after Monday Night Raw, and I noticed this, I was floating around on Twitter, and I caught Mr. Kennedy's post that he said that he was going to be on ESPN Milwaukee, their radio show. Apparently they have a weekly wrestling radio show. Little did I know. I'm sure some people out there probably did. Those people are probably Dusty and Matt the Fanatic and whoever else lives in Wisconsin. But anyway, Mr. Kennedy was going to be on, and he was on for about an hour and a half. I'd say maybe 50 minutes into the show, it started to cut out for me for whatever reason. But Kennedy was very candid answering some certain questions on this show, and then he was very coy about some other things. But to put it nicely, he had very few kind things to say about Triple H. To put it even more bluntly, he didn't have one fucking good thing to say about Triple H, and obviously can't stand the guy. He, though, this is kind of interesting. I'll try to summarize, because there wasn't a story up anywhere that I could see. Oh, and before I actually get to the summary, I'll let everybody know that the show itself is called the Pro Wrestling Report. So if you go to pwrshow.com, you can find this podcast. Kennedy tweeted the next day that it was, or maybe it was earlier today on Wednesday, that his interview on the Pro Wrestling Report was the number 11 most downloaded sports podcast of the day or of the week or something like that. So if you go to pwrshow.com, pretty much every section on the website, you can see a link to the Ken Kennedy interview. Let's see, the Ken Kennedy interview. Oh, it's right there too, the Ken Kennedy interview. This is obvious. Their hits, I'm sure, are going through the roof right now. But after talking shit on Triple H, after not having too many nice things to say about John Cena, and then but playing as nice as he could otherwise as far as his time in WWE went, other than the fact that he said that creative really kind of squashed him in his last couple of years. Apparently they didn't have faith in him anymore. Whatever, I guess if you're a baby face and you grow out a goatee, you dipshit, then I wouldn't have faith in you either, because facial hair is made for heels. He said that he was pretty excited about the possibility of going to TNA. And really, let's see, otherwise, about the other main thing that I wanted to mention, only because there was a follow-up on a story on ProWrestling.net, was Kennedy told the story about a wrestler, and this is where things started to break up for me, so I'm assuming he was talking about Triple H, made some comment backstage about a year or so ago at a time when apparently somebody was going through everybody's bags and things were coming up as stolen in various wrestlers' bags, and Triple H gave a big speech in front of the locker room and said, if I find out who this is, I will get you fired, and I have the clout to do that. And then the aftermath of that was Ken Kennedy goes to the ring for a match. When he comes back to the locker room, he sees Bob Holly picking through his bag, taps him on the shoulder. Holly turns around, and Kennedy was like, well, it looks like I got to go turn you in. So, and then Bob Holly was fired. I don't care what I've said about Ken Kennedy in the past, but he is my new fucking superhero right now. He is my favorite person on the planet Earth because he got Bob Holly fired. Bob Holly, though, you read the story, right? The link that was on .net?
I didn't read the full link,
okay.
But he did say that what's his name was the Walking Dead Man, that Kennedy was a Walking Dead Man.
Yeah, okay, Mr. fucking anger management issues, Bob Holly, we get it, you're a mean old man. He apparently is booked on some show, and he did this interview with Pulse Wrestling, and he did it to promote an upcoming United Kingdom tour that he's going on, and I can't remember if this was a show that was happening in the UK or somewhere else, but he said He basically put it this way: book me and Mr. Kennedy on the same show, and I'll go to jail that night. What a douchebag.
Yep. I mean, he acts like he was going to have some long extended career in the fucking WWE or something. Like, he was on TV all the time, and he got him. Hey, what the fuck are you doing going? I mean, if that's really what was happening, what the fuck are you doing going through people's bags?
Seriously, he even made a comment in this interview on Pulse Wrestling. He said that he had a long career in the WWF, WWE, and that he was smart with his money, so he's able to pick and choose the bookings that he takes. If you're being so smart with your money, why are you stealing shit from other people? Take 50 of those fucking cents, you stingy bastard, and buy your own athletic tape. Get a fucking Band-Aid from first aid. Don't go through other people's shit. Like, I don't know if a jug of Muscle Milk will help however you're growing your fucking pecs, but, you know, get your own shit, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, no kidding. What a pile of garbage. I mean, and that makes him look even worse. Like, I mean, not that he was exactly high on my list to start with, but really, you were stealing shit out of people's bags?
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God. Come on, dude.
Should we tack in allegedly onto the beginning of this? Or what did I used to
allegedly.
Say? I think I used
yeah,
to say,
allegedly.
I think I used to say,
according to Mr. Kennedy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, when you put two and two together, when the story goes, whoever's going through bags will get fired. And then Bob Holly is caught going through a bag, and then he is fired. You know, if A equals B and B equals C, then C equals A, then you could deduce that Bob Holly was going through bags, okay? He was caught going through a bag. Tack on to the fact that he's so pissed at Mr. Kennedy for getting him fired, which, by the way, he later in that interview goes on to say, oh, well, and then he was like, but it wasn't, you know, he doesn't basically give Kennedy credit for getting him fired. He says that he pretty much asked to be let go if WWE couldn't find anything more for him to do than just job on TV. Like Kevin said, it's not like you had a big, long career ahead of you. Your best years were far behind you, and those best years weren't any fucking good. Your role was going to be to job pretty consistently. I don't care if in your interview you claimed that Chris Jericho said, I can't believe they can't find more things for you to do, or Undertaker wanted to work a long money program with you. I call horseshit. There's no fucking way that Undertaker looked around the locker room and said, man, I see money in a feud with Hardcore Holly. You fucking delusional, lying, hillbilly douchebag. Allegedly.
Oh my God. That's a Bob Holly claimed that he was going to have a feud with the fucking Undertaker?
Yeah, he said this in his interview, like, oh yeah, Undertaker even suggested that we work a program. Fuck you,
oh.
You liar.
Wow, what a delusional man.
He said something along the lines of, I have a lot of respect in the locker room, the boys love working with me. Yeah, I somehow doubt that, too. There's a reason. And he explains the story of Brock Lesnar dropping him on his head. He says that he just chalked it up to inexperience on Brock's part. He says it had nothing to do with himself sandbagging. He said that he went for the rotation, just that Brock didn't get him as far up as he wanted to and just dropped him on his head. Like, you know, way to be nice to the UFC heavyweight champion who could fucking kill you right now if he wanted to. But stop bullshit to people. You're a big dickhead. No one likes to work with you. And Brock Lesnar took it upon himself to drop you on your head. And thank you for that, Brock.
No kidding. Fucking A. If only he could do it again and just put us out of our misery.
Please, no more interviews with Bobbert Holly. Let's see. I don't know. But again, for anyone who actually wants to catch the show, it wasn't, like, you know, made a big deal out of it. It wasn't really heavily promoted. The only reason I knew it is because I was looking on Twitter during Raw and saw that Kennedy had posted something. So if you got about an hour and a half to kill and you want to listen to the show, go to twrshow.com, and the link is all over the place. And then follow it up with the Bob Holly interview, the link to which is on prowrestling.net. And, oh yeah, everybody's in self-promotion mode right now. Goodness gracious, what else are we going to talk about? We have a couple other things on the list.
Wow, I stepped away. Well, didn't really step away from my computer, but...
No problem. I'm at mine. I will check it out. We talk online about what we're going to talk about.
Yeah, we actually semi-organize ourselves.
Yeah. Oh, well, we can do one of two things. We can talk about ECW since we have time, or we can spoil some SummerSlam matches. We can talk about those and see what you think.
Yeah, well, you know, we do a very piss-poor job of covering SmackDown most of the time because, like, we always feel by the time we get around to doing this fucking once a week.
That
we shouldn't be talking about ECW for some reason, or SmackDown for whatever reason. So,
well,
spoiling.
Yeah, sure. You caught SmackDown this week. I'm dumb. I missed it. as I tend to do. It's hard for me because it's supposed to air at 7 o'clock Central Time, but it doesn't come on until 9 my time. Well, then it also depends on whether or not I'm in town. If I'm not in Iowa City, I'm in Des Moines, and I don't think any of the Des Moines networks carry it. So, since you got a chance to see it, we'll kind of explain what the hell happened on SmackDown. What I missed, Kevin? What I missed?
Oh, fuck. You're asking me to talk about last week now?
I mean, if there's anything worth talking about. Otherwise, we can fast forward to stuff that was taped for this week, and
we
can spoil some of these SummerSlam matches for folks, which I think, I don't know.
Well, who's Medusa got the... I'm trying... I'm not thinking that there was too much crazy that went on. I mean, Crime Time got another win, which was, you know, fine and dandy over the Hart Foundation or whatever the fuck they're calling themselves these days.
Sure, yeah.
Oh, Hart Dynasty, yeah. And Jericho and Show had a nice little promo after that.
That's good.
Oh, yeah, the women wrestle, yeah.
John Morrison finds his way into the main event of the show.
You know what, that's the only thing I actually haven't watched yet. So I don't even know how good that match was. I tried to sneak that in before this, but didn't.
Sure.
Mike Knox and his fucking ever-expanding gut.
Really? That's too bad. I've been wondering about that guy for a while, and now that he shows up on TV, is he not looking as sharp as he used to.
He still looks as flexible, as fast. JR talked, you know, JR does a great job talking people up from the, you know, from the Keller commentary. Occasionally, I just want him to reach over and just fucking whack Grisham right on the head when he makes goddamn dumb comments.
What was the dumb comment this time?
He was making too many women jokes during the whole women thing. It's like, okay, we get it, Todd. Like, you know, ha ha, you want to see all the women naked or something.
We get it. You're covering.
Yeah, you're covering for that ring that you have on your finger that's with another man and not another woman.
You're married.
Good God. So, anywho. Yeah, whatever. Like, he says just enough. Like, I always, like, want to see potential in him or see potential in him, and then he just makes these dumb comments every now and again. It's just like, ugh. You know, just cut those out, and you'd probably be fine. Like, when he's calling the action, he's okay, but, like, when he's, like, almost forced to ad-lib, he's just bad at ad-libbing or, you know, coming up with something kind of funny.
Yeah.
Like, ugh. Fucking maybe just stick to this. Don't try and be cutesy. Like, JR will just fucking bitch slap you around in that department.
Yeah. Grisham in the last 5 years has gotten better, but he's still pretty much a tool.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. I think that's the other problem is he just, you know, kind of sounds like a tool no matter what.
Oh, yeah. I mean, his sense of humor is just like, ugh, whatever. Dork. One thing that I was going to mention, I'm glad that John Morrison got a chance to wrestle Jeff Hardy on the on free TV. I don't know. I guess I can't say I'm a big fan of Jeff Hardy, the world champion, wrestling this often on free TV. I think he should be made a bigger deal out of. But that leads me to mentioning the fact that, and if you don't want to hear spoilers, it's time to turn the audio down for about 5 minutes or so. Jeff Hardy is wrestling CM Punk again at SummerSlam, and this time it's going to be I believe, a TLC match, if I remember reading the
Yes,
spoiler correctly.
Siri, you are correct.
Is this too much, Jeff Hardy versus CM Punk? Is it better to burn out than to fade away?
If they end it now, I think it'll be fine. I mean, I guess this kind of makes things kind of interesting, you know. I think that they were really, really hoping that Jeff Hardy re-signed, and I haven't seen anything one way or the other. Like, he could have re-signed for all we know, and he's going to have a long title reign, which
Sure,
would be
yeah.
perfectly fine by me. But yeah, you can't really revisit CM Punk versus Jeff Hardy then at any juncture.
Yeah, I mean, maybe like 2 years down the road or something, but it's not something you can
Yeah.
continue to use as a fallback plan. I mean, what was show? Well, I guess Edge isn't going to come back for a while, and he'll come back as a baby face, but he was on SmackDown, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, it'll be a while before he comes back. Undertaker could probably come back anytime he wants to. And
Yeah.
if for whatever reason Punk wins, if he wins at TLC, then you could probably conclude that Hardy's going to take some time off. And really, I could see Punk and Morrison again. And I wouldn't mind because they always had good matches in ECW, but it might be time to
Yeah,
give old Undertaker a call and be like, come on, dude, we need some main event players around here.
yeah. Of course, we know that he's not going to give CM Punk a rub, so I mean, that's a bit of a problem, really.
Well, hey, he was willing to work with Bob Holly. If you could see one goddamn diamond Bob Holly, I hope you could see at least a $5 bill in CM Punk.
Oh man. Yeah, that would certainly be interesting.
Undertaker Punk, yeah, that'd be a new, fresh feud. It would really test Punk. I mean, and Punk obviously could pass the test, but it's like, what does
Yeah.
this like smaller, less muscular character based on reality, his real life beliefs and value systems sort of wrestler, what's he gonna do against this like vaunted, this phenom, this Undertaker who's been around for 20 some years? It'd be a real test for Punk to see if he can knock this one out of the park or not.
Yeah, that well, plus he'd Jeff Hardy, I believe, as I noted, has done at least enough on the mic now. And Undertaker doesn't really do a whole lot on the mic, so
Yeah.
he'd definitely have to hold up his end of the bargain with the stick too.
Yeah, that's a good point. Now that he's gone back to his character where he pretty much has to end every promo with the words "Rest in peace."
Yeah.
You have to convince your crowd that now all of a sudden CM Punk is afraid of caskets or something.
I guess that, well, yeah. That wouldn't, I was gonna say that would be one reason to put the Miz over there, but I guess that's a heel on heel feud, which isn't gonna work.
Right. And I mean, I could totally see Miz and Jeff Hardy. Shit, I could see Miz and Undertaker, Like the asshole that keeps calling out dudes and
Oh,
acting
you
like
know what? And speaking of the other spoiler, actually,
Yeah.
Which could work in conjunction to make things interesting if Jeff Hardy is taking a little breaky break. What if Ray Ray loses
Which
to good old Dolphy Dolph and
yeah, old Ray Ray is freely free to wrestle up with old Punkaroo
Yep.
after the old Golden Flash wins the Intercontinental Belt at SummerSlam that he's going to wrestle for.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose that's one way to get a main event name in there if that is indeed what's going to happen. But
Sure. That's a good point.
hell, if the WWE is smart, they should tell Jeff and Matt to not fucking Twitter for the next 2 weeks. Or at least Jeff, and tell Matt not to Twitter about Jeff at least.
Yeah, leave us in
And
suspense.
leave everybody in the dark, you know? That would actually make that pay-per-view kind of interesting.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And yeah, that's a good point. Matt coming back probably in a, I don't know, a month or two, something like that. I don't know where he'll fit in. I mean, if Jeff's gone for a while, then that's the thing too. I was thinking SmackDown, if everyone sticks around and if everything happens the way I figure it'll happen, then we've got Jeff and Matt again, which it's too early to rehash that. Morrison and Miz, which I feel like the boat has sailed on that one. I hate to say it because I could see, I don't know, I could see those two having matches, but it's one of those things that should have happened right away, and now I feel like Morrison's kind of going in his direction and Miz is going in an opposite one. But anyway, nonetheless, I think that with what they've done with Ray up to this point, you know, his great feud with Chris Jericho over the mask and the Intercontinental title, and then matches against just whatever contenders they can find for his belt. I think that if he did lose, that he would still have plenty of momentum to push him up into the back into the main event, because what he's, 'cause he'd be fresh. He'd be like, oh yeah, he just came off a really good Intercontinental title reign. So yeah, that would be fine. And plus, Dolph would have the belt, and that would be cool.
Yeah, it'd be pretty nifty in my book. Plus, I mean, we've already mentioned they have enough young guys coming, gunning, so they could do that. And, well, hell, him and Morrison really haven't even had any matches, and that would not be something that I would avert my eyes to either, really.
You would avoid Twitter for that 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, no, I agree. There are plenty of fresh matchups available if we can just get past I don't know. Over on SmackDown, we can talk about all the fresh matchups, and over on Raw, we can hope and pray to God that the mid-card gives us something to sink our teeth into. But
Yeah,
yeah.
that was the one funny thing that I meant to mention, though, is that they've kind of mysteriously glossed over CM Punk and John Morrison fighting in ECW.
Yeah, I don't understand why, and I bet that if they got into something serious, then JR would probably mention it. I feel, of everyone there, I feel like you'd be the one that would slip in at least some comment that at least you know each other pretty damn well, King. They wrestle in ECW.
Oh yeah, maybe if he starts calling Grisham King, that'll give him enough of a fucking kick in the teeth to stop making dumb jokes.
Yeah, seriously. And here's a side note, just future. A future programming note, we have to discuss, let's see, who came up with the idea? Somebody, it was either Dusty or Jordan, one of the two suggested that we do a retro audio based on SummerSlam, the best and worst of SummerSlam. So for those of you who have not yet gone to stuntgranny.com to vote for what you thought were the top five and the worst five SummerSlams of all time, go find the post and leave a comment with your vote. I went back and I've been watching the old SummerSlams to kind of catch up on things. And it was 2000, I believe, the opening couple of minutes where the announcers talk. JR, like everything out of his mouth was, "It's going to be a great night, King. What a great SummerSlam. It's going to be King. Can't wait for our main event, King." So I say it in jest nowadays, but it's because it's been so ingrained in my head that I can't help but think of every one of JR's sentences ending with the word Kane.
King.
That's just the way it goes in my head. Oh, let's see. I don't know, man. I think that might sum it up for this week.
Yeah,
We've gone our normal time.
I think that's a good little wrap. I mean, if we could ever, get to two of these or not have fucking somebody with all kinds of problems, no matter who that somebody is right now. Being Mr. Bass, his fucking weird ass shift that he's working.
He threatened, and I'm gonna throw him under the bus here for you loyal Stunt Granny listeners, he threatened at one point to maybe do a solo podcast in the morning before he goes to work. So I'm just saying, it might happen. It's out there as a possibility. You might get to hear from old Jeremy Mays solo in the morning. Jeremy Mays in the morning. That'd be kind of awesome, actually, if he did like
Mays,
a 15-minute
Mays
show.
In the morning.
Yep.
maybe I'll bring that up to him tomorrow.
All right.
We got a whole segment for him.
That'd be great. Oh, I'm going to throw this out here again. I've heard actually from Derek Steller of the Pro Wrestling Torch VIP forum. Was one person who, I don't know if I mentioned it somewhere on like Torch Board or something like that, or for all I know, he might listen to the Stunt Granny audios, and if he does, thank you. But he said that he was going to go to the Dragon Gate show in Chicago on September 6th, that's a Sunday, and Jordan and I are still talking about going, and still just putting it out there. If anyone else is considering going and wants to meet up, then let me know, and we'll find some way to hook up, have a little Stunt Granny convention.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm out for that one, at least as far as I know right now.
I should be out for it, but I'm going to sell plasma like a champ, and I'm going to be able to afford this trip. The last bit of my money is going to get wrung out at Dragon Gate.
My blasted brother is going to be flying in from Denver, and he'll be here in Columbus, so I can't very well bail ship on that weekend.
Well, that'll still be a good time, though.
Yep, and for me, if anybody is in the Cleveland area, and if you haven't fucking noticed it on our site yet, I will be in Cleveland for the Pro Wrestling Ohio show on Sunday. I have part one of my preview up. Part two will be tomorrow or Friday, one of the two.
Cool.
And speaking of solo podcasts, it's dependent. I may just call in this number and have one of you to download it.
Sure.
After I get back,
cool.
Or on my way back, because I'll have 2.5 fucking hours of doing nothing in my car. So I might chew up like 30 minutes of it doing a rehash of the show.
Sounds like a good plan. Yeah.
Plus, we have a little meet and greet. I can meet Al Snow and Jim the Anvil Neidhart after the event.
Cool. Let's see. All right. You get
yep.
Dusty's opinion of Al Snow first.
Really,
cool.
If anything, I'm not going to worry about those knuckleheads and maybe try and get, that's the other thing I'm debating, maybe doing a short phone call with some of the actual guys that are in Pro Wrestling Ohio and not the fucking big names that they're bringing in to try and draw in more of a crowd.
Sure, yeah. Well, that's cool. Yeah, everybody look out for the super card that's on the Stunt Granny front page and read all about Resolution coming up here. You said Sunday, right?
Yep, Sunday.
Most excellent. Cool. So plenty of stuff coming up on Stunt Granny. Make sure you come back. Come back and come back and come back again. Shit, why don't you set it as your homepage, you mooch? But, yeah, I guess until then, it's probably about time to sign off. So that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to get ready to, I don't know, my roommate left town and she left a cherry tart on the oven. She's like, it's all yours. So I think I'm going to go ahead and ruin my entire diet and workout by eating a whole tart. It's about 12 inches around, so fucking
yep.
Wish me luck. I'm going to go have dessert.
Enjoy, and I am going to go grab my tasty nightly sippy time beer, and then it's off to bed for myself to recover still from the soccer workout. Night.